baby, just breathe. Welcome to Chromatic Elephant, a podcast about race, trauma, and the impact of white body supremacy. Here are your hosts, Tyler Reitzner and Resma Menakem.
Welcome to Chromatic Elephant. I'm Tyler Reitzner.
I'm Resma Menakem.
And today we are bringing the elephants into the room.
As always.
To talk about an article that was in The Nation by Danny McLean. And again, all of our articles get posted to our website with every episode so people can go back and reference everything we talk about. And we kind of use these articles to frame an overall conversation. And this one was about, this article was titled "As a Black Mother, My Parenting is Always Political." Mm-hmm. And I would have never thought of that before in the same way, but especially because of I'm a white guy, so I don't have to think about any of that. Mm-hmm. And so this article was interesting to me as being the father of a biracial son and watching what my wife goes through, not only with him, but how people look at her when she's with her stepson, who is my firstborn, who's mm-hmm. a white kid, mm-hmm. And almost kind of like, where did you steal that kid from, mm-hmm. kind of way. And so this article spoke to me in a way that also made me realize that it's not just parenting. So, like, my wife, who's African American, your existence, the existence of people of color, is very political.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have to look at the world through that lens, and I had not thought of that until reading this. Not necessarily hadn't thought of it, but I had framed it very differently. Like, you've heard me, I've said on this show many, many times that I'm not trying to be political. Yeah. I'm trying to be about human rights.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like how you smile at that, because you know that's actually, I get to be that way because of the color of my skin, and because I'm a straight guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm and a straight white male.
Right.
Like, all three of those elements make it so I don't have to live in a world of politics. Right. And I actually get to make it about human rights and get on my self-righteous soapbox and start preaching.
Yeah. The black body has always been political. Especially in this context, in this Western context, right? One of the things I tell people is that the idea of the black body and white body supremacy is actually older than America itself, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea of the first time you hear the term white people is in Virginia law. In around the 1680s, right after the Bacon's Rebellion, right? Mm-hmm. That's the first time you start to see it in law, in institution, right? And so that is, if you put something in law, you're talking about politics, right?
Institutionalizing it.
If you're talking about the act of enslavement, you're talking about politics. If you're talking about land theft, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about I mean, there's no way to steal people's land without talking about politics, without that being a political endeavor. So when I read the article, one of the things that I thought about was to a large degree, the black woman's body is where a lot of the politics, the black woman's body is where a lot of the politics of this country has landed on.
Absolutely.
Right? I was reading this article, an associated article with that, and I think we can put that up there too. Mm-hmm. It was basically, the article was talking about how many white women during the time of enslavement were either bequeathed or owned enslaved Africans, right? Mm-hmm. And that was how they built their wealth, right? and how many of the enslaved Africans, remember, we were property.
Yeah.
So during that time, whatever you needed to do to make your property more valuable is what you needed to do. In this article, they talked about how many white women had, many of the white women who could earn, owned, who had property, who owned the enslaved, what they did was many of them, when they had babies, right, they gave their babies to enslaved African women to nurse.
Yeah,
right?
Yep, yep.
What a lot of people don't know is that they also would periodically have the woman raped in order to keep them lactating, mm-hmm. right? That was a practice. That was a standardized practice in enslavement, right? Mm-hmm. And so those types of things, those types of standards, those types of things that get ensconced and then over time look like culture, land with great force on the body.
Yep.
That's political. There is a political stance and positioning, even though they're both women. There is a political stance and positioning that's different for that white woman than it is for that black woman, mm-hmm. right? And what the article talks about, and I believe, is that the positioning of the black woman is a different positioning. She sees this thing differently.
Yeah.
So therefore, she has to bring that into the context of her parenting.
Yeah.
Right? The white woman sees it differently because of her positioning. She has to bring her context into that parenting, i.e. race doesn't exist,
yeah.
i.e. there is really no significance to race. Whereas the black woman knows, because of the positioning in this country, in, with regard to the politics of her body, that race does, that the concept of race, even though it is a false concept, the reality of racism is a very real and threatening and brutal thing.
Yeah.
And so that's what I really appreciate about the article, is that they were able to kind of lean into that piece a little bit. So.
Yeah, and it's, for me, as I was reading through the article, what I started to feel, quite frankly, is that to say it's political, to me that felt like it was trying to help white people understand it.
Oh yeah,
because you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it's in the nation.
Well,
it's about trying to get liberal white people to understand.
Exactly. Yeah, like, yeah. But even just calling it, having to call it, it's because that to me just informs this is another box.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the, We look for these boxes to put mm-hmm. things in mm-hmm. to try and, it's about comfort. And how do we stay comfortable with this subject? We'll call it a political subject, as opposed to putting it in the context that you just put it in of mm-hmm. actually this is what it's about.
Right.
And knowing that, like that practice you had mentioned with slaves, that actually goes back to the caste systems in Europe mm-hmm. through how they governed, and mm-hmm. they would take over... same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They would take over a land from a quote-unquote less civilized people. Mm-hmm. They would become their servants and slaves, and they would then mm-hmm. Force them to breastfeed their children like royals. And that was considered...
Yeah, well, because they didn't, the whole vanity stuff around, breast sagging and all that different types of stuff. Well, here's one of the things that I think is interesting, is that there is a big debate right now in terms of... a lot of people who study medieval history mm-hmm. are now there are more and more people of color who are studying that and are getting degrees and stuff in it. And so now there's this big debate in that field around talking about the rudimentary roots of the kind of race stuff in medieval history. Right.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I've been reading a lot about is this, and I wrote about it in my book, My Grandmother's Aunt.
Yes.
So one of the things that I think has been showing up is right after the fall of the Roman Empire, it was about 500 AD, is also right around the time that England started to be in the Britannia started to kind of develop. Those people started to develop. From the 500 AD to 1500 is roughly around the time that they call the Middle Ages, right? Or the Dark Ages. And they didn't call it the Dark Ages because it was a nice starry night. Yeah. They called it the Dark Ages because it was brutal, yes. Right? It was some brutal stuff. And one of the things I have an elder, a white elder, that tells me, that told me when I was writing the book, she said, Resma, one of the things I just want you to kind of think about and remember as you're writing the book, as a place to just kind of think about and start when you're writing about white people, is that what white people did to black people and people of color and native people, they perfected on poor white bodies first, mm-hmm. right? And that brutality, so that happened from 500 AD to 1500 AD. In 1492, that white body started to come here.
Yep.
There was no intervening therapist that went and dealt with those bodies that had been brutalized,
no trauma,
flogged,
treatments.
Raped, yeah. Had land theft, genocide, all of that, crusades, insurrections, none of that got healed. Mm-hmm. And that body then came here. The Middle Ages for me was the perfect seeding ground for the white body to accept white supremacy. Mm-hmm. It softened the ground for those seeds to germinate,
yeah,
right? Because by the time we get to the 1600s, and that level of brutality and plague and famine and horrible stuff that had happened to poor white bodies at the hands of elite white bodies, by the time we get to 1680 and some smart elite white body says, you know what, we can't have another one of these Bacon's rebellions, right? Mm-hmm. So now you are a white person, and which means that gives you dominion over these savages.
Yeah.
And you know they're savages because of how they look.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
You can tell the difference between these savages and us white people who have dominion and have been ordained and have the doctrine of discovery behind us and all that different type of stuff. So now when they go to poor white people and say, look, you are now white. You're white people. It is ensconced in law. We give you dominion. You can own land. You can own da-da-da-da-da. Because of all of that brutality that had never been healed, white people saying, you mean all I got to do is be white and maybe my kids won't have to deal with this brutality that you dogs have been putting on us for the last 1,000 years? Yeah, I'll take some of that.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I'll take some of that. I'll take some of that, and then here's how I'll take it. I'll take it and I'll let you get rid of my name. I'll take it and I will change my name to make it sound more Anglo-Saxon, mm-hmm. right? I won't keep the Celtic name. I won't keep the histories of white women working with herbs and land that are now being burned as witches and stuff like that. I'll get rid of all that so men can be doctors and be the head of the medical. All of that stuff is all wrapped in together. And so when this article talks about how the black woman's body is political, that's the context that I see it in.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That it's all woven into, and this is why white folks have to come together themselves and begin to deal with all of that pain and all of that stuff and begin to develop culture around it, not just strategy around it.
Well, because what you just described is why we talk about these things on the show in the context of trauma.
Yes.
Because everything you just described, even the way white supremacy was instituted, and it's very accurate. It was actually done through economics, where it very first started to come
Absolutely.
Up through economics and trade, slave trading, mm-hmm. Because they were trying to figure out different value for different slaves.
That's right.
White slaves included. Mm-hmm. But what ended up happening was this was where it started to become, because women were always kind of less than,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you add another layer of, you're not even human.
Not even human.
Because of the color of your skin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have centuries of you're not human, or you're less than,
mm-hmm.
but at least you're human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas these folks aren't even human.
I ain't even human.
And now, and one of the things that is to me like kind of underlined in this article is what we're dealing with now with women of color who are African-American women, I should say, not mm-hmm. women, but African-American women, especially right now. And, you know, we're hearing a lot in the news about low birth rates, issues around mortality.
Absolutely.
And all of these
always
things.
Always been, though.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think this. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. interesting to me that this. I think now we have the stats. You know how much white people love stats. When you start having stats, then there's. Well, it's true. Like until you have stats, like it's all anecdotal.
Yes, right.
You know that's
right.
why.
Which
all
means this, it's not valid.
It's not valid. That's why like we needed this thing called the ACE study to understand you know childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, why did you need that? I lived it. I could have told you that.
That's right.
If you would have asked.
That's
me.
Right.
But
that's
we
right.
needed this right. study. We needed the statistics. Anyway, I digress. The point is that, what African American women are dealing with. I mean, the stress of isn't about just. When you put it in that context, mm-hmm. it's not just about like having a baby.
Right. Right.
And it's also like, not only am I responsible for trying to raise this child, but raise it in this environment.
Right. Right.
Where I'm always feeling unsafe.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, and I think this, and again, we're two dudes
right.
talking about this. Right. So I want to put that.
Yeah.
Out there,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
like yeah, we're two guys yeah, yeah, yeah. who are trying to yeah. talk about
never how breastfed,
never breastfed. Yeah, yeah. I have never gone through childbirth. Yes, I don't even pretend to know what that's like. I've never had to carry another living being inside of me
right.
who literally just takes my body over
yeah, right.
and sucks yeah. life from me,
yeah,
literally.
Yeah.
So I'm totally going from an observation standpoint.
Right.
I just want to make that clear
yeah.
because I you know, don't want to yeah. ruffle mm-hmm. feathers. Mm-hmm. And somewhere down the road, we can probably have some women on the show,
mm-hmm.
I would hope,
mm-hmm.
that can speak more directly around this.
Mm-hmm.
What I see, though, is a lot of pressure. I've got a new appreciation, especially after reading this article, for the full context of the pressure we're putting on African-American women.
Yeah.
Especially when you... look at what we are getting barraged every day now
mm-hmm.
with stuff that, as you've said a million times, like this isn't new,
mm-hmm.
what's going on with the police
mm-hmm.
and people getting pulled over. Like all of this stuff, the abuse of white supremacy and racism
mm-hmm.
is not new.
Mm-hmm.
The broadcasting of
yeah.
it all the time
yeah.
is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that takes a toll on mothers.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a toll. One of the things that I appreciate about this article is at the beginning when she talks about how her mother would play Whitney Houston and
yeah.
they would all sing Whitney Houston at the top of their lungs and blah, 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 and how she thought that there is a cultural element that we need to kind of maybe institute, that that's part of it because sometimes the melodies and those types of things, especially when you're going through a system that is barraging you with the fact that you're not human.
Yeah.
Before I get to that piece, there's the idea that, so if you have an idea, if you built a society
mm-hmm.
based on the idea that the white body, and remember, this idea is older than America. America didn't start until 1776, incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
We've been dealing with this particular stuff around race since 1619,
well,
or even before then, when we talk about Native people.
And I think mm-hmm. it's important. Not why I'm interrupting you, but it's important to note that it didn't start with America, but
right.
America started on it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right, exactly
yeah.
right. And so one of the things that I think about when we talk about white supremacy and white body supremacy is that when you predicate everything based on that idea, it gets seeped through every institution.
Mm-hmm.
White body supremacy existed before America. So before many of the things that we know to be true, this concept existed,
mm-hmm.
right? So the economic institutions.
Yep.
The educational institutions. The military institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Educational, the prison, every institution that you can think of, right?
Yep.
White body, the five brutalities in white body supremacy existed before that, right? Mm-hmm. And by the five brutalities, what I mean is genocide, imperialism, enslavement, land theft, and colonialism. Those five brutalities seeded.
Yep.
Right? All of the things, and then those things became decontextualized over time, became decontextualized as standard process procedure,
mm-hmm.
right? And so those things then, and that white supremacy then gets moved through institutions. So when people say, well, we just need to talk about it, or we just need to do something about it, we just need to do that. What they're talking about is what's visible. What they're not talking about is the decontextualize of it. So when we're talking about black mothers who have to teach, like my mother,
mm-hmm.
I was bused to an all-white high school. I went to an all-white, so I was in music when I was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So in sixth grade in the neighborhood I was born, I lived in a primarily black and Puerto Rican neighborhood. There were some poor whites there, but the moment that they could get out of there, they left, right? Mm-hmm. So primarily the neighborhood was mostly black and Puerto Rican. And in my neighborhood, we didn't have a junior high. When I got to sixth grade, we didn't have a junior high that had music. Now think about this.
Yeah.
They did not have music or arts in my junior high, in any junior high that I could have gone to that might have been down the street.
Mm-hmm.
No music, no art, no dance, none of that.
In a city. You grew up in a city.
I grew up in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Right?
Milwaukee,
which is the most segregated place.
Yeah.
I mean, to this day.
Yeah.
It's highly segregated, very racist,
mm-hmm.
right? You can be driving. I remember my wife, me and her, we went home to visit my family, and my wife was born and raised north side of Minneapolis, right?
Okay, yeah.
So she has a particular way, you know, of seeing things, right? And we drive to Milwaukee, and you get off the highway in Milwaukee, there's a Brewer Stadium, right?
Yep,
you go, it's
yep.
pretty decent. But then we get off on the highway and get on North Avenue
yeah.
and start driving up the, and my wife starts looking at me. She goes, how did things change so dramatically? I mean, you can tell where the money is at, who's getting them, all
oh,
the,
yeah,
I
yeah.
mean, just the roads, not even, before you see any people, you see the roads and what's happening and all this different type of stuff. So the reason why I'm saying that is that when you are raised in an environment where things are positioned and designed to reinforce institutionally
mm-hmm.
that you are not human, because you are actually in the antithesis of human,
yeah.
right? So if you have something that says the supreme standard of humanity is the white body.
That's correct.
The yeah. moment that you say that, you have to have the antithesis of
that's
that,
correct.
Right?
Yep.
And the antithesis of that has been the black body.
Mm-hmm.
That's why black bodies are always compared with monkeys.
Yeah.
Right? It is about the evolution. The most dangerous place for a black person is in the mind of white people,
mm-hmm.
right? And so the idea that the black man is closer to or the black person is one step removed from the monkey is a very long history of that in white thought, right?
Yeah.
Even before America. Right, even before like the incorporation of America, so it is not just white people who internalize that; it is also people of color who internalize that. So when I read this article, one of the things that I was thinking was how my mother had to do things that I didn't even know she was doing.
Yeah.
When I was getting ready to go to this white junior high, I was bused all the way across town to a white junior high who, in that time, was only like the sixth or seventh year that black people had went to that school. So my mother would do things when I would come home, like, how was school today? Now when I'm looking back on it, the idea of her asking how was school today was not about, did you get an apple? Did somebody, you know, did somebody hug you tight? It's like that. Well, my mother, and I didn't realize this until I was like 40, 45 years old, and I was with my kid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was sitting there, man, and now when I look back on it, and I've actually checked in with her about this, mm-hmm. and she said, yeah, that's what I was doing. My mother, all three boys, she's raising practically by herself because my dad was in and out of prison, mm-hmm. right? So she would look, she said, how was school? And we go, it was good. She goes, look at me. And I like, it was fine. She goes, anything happening? And I go, no. She go, look at me. I didn't know what she was doing. Mm-hmm. And what she was doing was somatic.
Yeah.
She was looking at my eyes. She was looking at my mouth and my nose. Did something change? When I said something about, did my skin color, or did I get red, or did I get brighter? Mm-hmm. Did my chest? She was looking at me. She wasn't interested in just what I said. She was interested in what was the effects of being at that school. Mm-hmm. Was some crap going on, yeah. right? And black women know that when they become parents, that there's other things to be checked in about other than just how was school.
That's why this idea that it's political,
yes,
is a box.
Yeah.
Because to me, like when I was reading this, I started to get less. To me, it wasn't. It was less about it being political.
Yeah.
And more about it being
a black body.
A black body.
Yeah.
Which meant, yeah. which really the undertone is not human.
That's right. That's it.
So when they're talking about, so really what she's saying is, in my mind as I'm reading this, is being a white mother or being a black mother is about being thought of as inhuman, raising another inhuman child.
That's right.
We want to make it sound nicer, so we say it's political.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got you. So that makes sense.
And that's where even my idea of human rights, right. it's like a nice little box. Right. It's human rights.
Yeah.
It's it's beyond that, because we're not even treating people like humans. We aren't looking at them as human beings.
Right, right. It's an interesting point that you're saying. The idea, so what I see in terms of the song, and what I see with my mother, mm-hmm. is in terms of the song, what she was writing about Whitney Houston,
yeah.
what I see is what she was actually doing was saying, this world and everything in it has been constructed to make you believe that you're not human.
That's correct.
To see you as not being human being. And I need you to understand that. And I need you to know that you are.
You are.
And not in comparison to white folks. That you are human. Right? And
yes.
That's
because you are.
Because you are.
You are because
and that's
you are.
What my but my mom knew that what this society, the construction already was.
Yeah.
And that's what she was doing when she would look at me and say, look at me. Mm-hmm. Like when I would turn my head or something like that and tracking me and saying things to me and trying to pick up on stuff, because what she was trying to make sure was that the inhumanity was not a testimony to what I was, but was a testimony to an unjust system.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about black mothers, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about there's many more considerations when you're raising a black child. Right.
Yeah.
One more piece. When you have, when I said this earlier, when you have the white body being the supreme standard of humanity, every deviation from that white body is a deviation not only from the white body, but a deviation from humanity.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Well, because the white body is
a hierarchy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And that's what we struggle with a lot of times, yeah. right? Is that the idea, so people say, like some people that will be listening, some white folks that will be listening to this will say something like, All they're doing is talking about race, right? It's, we move past race. And race is, they'll do this thing. Well, yeah. You know, we just, the idea of race is false. That's what, people will do that. Yes, we know that. But the whole structure has been predicated on that falseness.
Exactly.
The whole system has been predicated on that falseness. So what is, you ever seen a show called The Upside, called Stranger Things?
Oh, yeah. Stranger Things. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Stranger Things, for those who don't know, Stranger Things, they got another world that's called the upside down.
Yeah,
right? In the upside down, everything that's in the normal world is upside down and crinkled and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We live in the upside down, right? We live where me talking to you or me having this complexion is said that I'm inhuman.
Mm-hmm.
When we know in our barest of barest, that the very when creation decided that it was going to create the first Homo sapien, it decided it was going to be a black woman first. So whenever you get through all of the machinations and stuff like that, all of us come from that one mitochondria, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of us, every human. I don't care what pigmentation you look at.
Yep.
Right? That we all come from that. And so the only way you can say that I'm inhuman is to say that you're not human. That's the only way you can get there, right?
Yeah.
But that's if you're thinking about this logically. If you're thinking about this in a way that's political, then you can create all types of political ways to divorce yourself from me.
So as you're saying this, and I'm rethinking about this article, not only is it a comfort box for white people, it's also a tool / weapon
mm-hmm.
to continue to, by saying, you know, this is political, and we need to do something about the political policies and this and that. What about the fact that our entire system
is predicated
on people being subhuman?
Right.
And that's, and it literally is underlying why, you know, we can get away with talking about immigration, but only as it applies to brown people Mexico.
That's right. But we want to get some white folks from Norway. That's all good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We may have them run through some hoops, but there's a process for them.
There's a process. That's right. That's right.
So, yeah, it's not about, it's really not about politics or human rights. It's actually about looking at people as subhuman.
Not just looking at them. Not just looking at them.
Treating it. Well, yeah.
Structuring. Right?
Yeah,
so you don't even have to talk about it. It just is what it is.
It is.
It's just part of the water. We're all fish.
Yeah.
You know. So,
yep.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, another heavy conversation.
I can tell when we'd have done something. And you,
man.
Damn.
Well, it's that's my white body going shit.
I'm exhausted. Yeah,
I gotta deal with this stuff. But I mean, but the reality is, I don't want to be a human that is continuing to perpetuate other human suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in any kind of way, believing or thinking that other people are subhuman.
Yeah.
It just goes against, it goes against what's helped me heal from my own personal traumas.
That's it.
And so but what hurts is building on like understanding where my part is these things and really sitting in the uncomfortable.
That's it.
Part of it. So, So thanks for letting me get uncomfortable with you today.
No worry. Welcome Chromatic. To the upside down, brother.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you
guys for joining us for another episode of Bringing the Elephant in the Room with Chromatic Elephant. I'm Tyler Reitzner.
I'm Rez Mamin again. Peace.
Take care.
Thank you for joining us on Chromatic Elephant. Support for this podcast comes from My Grandmother's Hands and Resma Menakem at resma.com or text RESMAA to 55222. Support also comes from Thriver Institute, helping organizations in social services, education, and pediatrics Find practical and culturally responsive approaches to applying trauma-informed practices. Live to thrive. Chromatic Elephant is produced and directed by Tyler Reitzner and Resma Menekim, with technical production by Noah Brown and Andre Gobert. Thank you for listening, and keep acknowledging the Chromatic Elephant in the room.